Hello, everyone. Welcome to Beyond the Schmodown, episode 8. I'm Star Wars competitor Andrew DiMolanta.
Episode 8.
Wow.
Introduce yourself, please.
Well, I'm Nikki DiMolanta. I thought this is episode like 4 or
something. No. Episode 7 was last week with John Rocha. Wow. So, we are talking about the New York event, beginning of season 7.
The new era.
And what a match it was. Before we get into that, we're going to be sprinkling these in every once in a while throughout the show. We have some call-ins from people. So let's go ahead and get this one.
All right, so I'm here at the Schmodown Live in Brooklyn before the show. It is a crazy atmosphere as always. A lot of the usual suspects of the Schmodown family. And we're excited for what's to come here in live in Brooklyn. This is Billy, your on-site reporter.
That was Squadron Officer Billy Belford.
Billy Belford, what a fucking
our
baller!
On-site correspondent, just getting in. Like we've said it before on the show, if you have not gone to a live Schmodown taping,
what are you doing with your life?
If you're a fan, you have to experience this. We've been to several. We've been to 2. Chicago and Orlando.
Yeah.
And both of them have been awesome. So thank you, Billy, for calling in. We'll hear from him again later
so
on the
cool.
show. But let's go ahead and get into what we had, the undercard. Dastardly Drew Guy, the Schmodown competitor, formerly known as Dastardly Drew Guy, against
the Debonair.
Spoilers, of course. We were talking major spoilers. And this is how we're going to sort of treat all these live events, just so the general public gets a chance to see the matches as they come out, and then we're going to talk about it. So it's not like we're going to try to rush out to get an episode up like the day after.
Yeah, because everybody's still pretty sensitive about spoilers.
Yeah, even though there's an official statement saying everything except for the Facebook group has a 24-hour... No, sorry. There's no spoiler ban except for the 24-hour spoiler ban
in
the Facebook group.
Yeah.
So,
and it's been well over 24 hours, and
yes.
This is not the Facebook group, so guess what?
But we're
going to talk spoilers.
And, yeah, well, there's several reasons why I did it this way, but it's just so we don't piss everybody off.
Well, it's still going to happen.
It's still going to happen, how it'll happen, live event will happen, we'll give it a week,
mm-hmm.
and then the week after we'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go ahead and get started talking about the
Brooklyn event. We got Andrew Guy versus Robert Meyer Burnett.
Mm-hmm. And this did not go the way we thought it was going to go.
Well, I mean, it ultimately went the way we thought it was going to go. It just didn't happen in a manner
it was closer,
that we thought it would.
Closer than we thought.
Yeah, a bit.
Yeah.
So RMB came out with his one of his rookies, mm-hmm. Mr. James White.
James White.
You know, he did his normal RMB thing and was mm-hmm. talking all that shit. And then Andrew Guy came out alone,
mm-hmm.
cut his own promo like a baller. And so let's dive into the match.
Mm-hmm.
So round one, they both missed the very last question about who framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, oh my God, did they get a perfect round?
Yeah, they could have.
What happened here? But yeah, they both missed it. So it ends up 7-7. A little bit nerve wracking to see Robert Meyer Burnett almost get a perfect round, and keeping it right up there with Andrew. So round two, Burnett, he only scored 1 point the entire round.
Yeah, because he kept not going to multiple choice. And this is either a brilliant move by him.
Or he just forgot how everything
forgot.
Works.
Yeah. It's like, how do you, just looking from a competitor standpoint, like if your manager's forgetting to go to multiple choice, it's like, how?
Yeah, if the manager himself, the one who's supposed to be reminding you.
Yeah, it's like, how are you going to help my gameplay if you or yourself forget the gameplay?
How long has it been since we've seen Burnett in a match? We saw him in that dumpster fire with Dagnino that everyone likes to talk about, right?
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
I can't remember.
It's been a bit.
But he did, like, I think everybody looks back on that match and is like, there's no way Burnett's going to make it to the third.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe he did his homework. Maybe he studied up. Maybe.
Well, I don't know. I thought I heard somewhere. I don't know where I heard it. I don't know if I was listening to, like, an Action Industries, you know, mm-hmm. stream or something. But I thought that I heard Andrew Guy say something about how he was studying and Robert Meyer Burnett was like, you you've been studying for this? He's like, yes, don't make me feel dumb for studying. I don't know where I heard that, or if I maybe had like some sort of like fever dream about this or something. But I thought that I heard that RMB was like, you studied? What a nerd. So I don't know how prepared he was.
I don't know. Maybe he just puts on this front, or maybe he was just like wildly unlucky his last match where he got all these questions that he didn't know, because he's in the business. He's an actual producer, and you have to know film if that's the case. So maybe he just got lucky this time around with the questions going his way.
Yeah, and he didn't have... We're only in round two. I mean, it's halfway through, but he didn't have like a stellar match. Yeah. It was just shocking that he didn't get absolutely knocked out.
I think everybody's just comparing this match to his last match, and it's like, wow, I'm surprised that based on his performance.
Yeah.
And he's a former champion. It's not like he's some shitter. And granted, it was back when the IG was way different than it is now.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, I think people just are underestimating his abilities and his knowledge.
But yeah, I think in round two, he only managed to score one point with his questions on the very last question.
I think I might as well go to multiple choice now.
Yeah.
How many did a guy steal any of those points?
I don't think he did, to be honest, so, which was also surprising.
Yeah, that's like...
And he spun Nolan, by the way. So Burnett got Nolan, scored 1 point because he finally was like, oh yeah, multiple choice, even though Andrew reminded him a couple times. Yeah.
Maybe he just didn't want to go multiple choice because he didn't want to give Guy the chance of multiple choice.
I mean, that's a risky...
That's a risky
game, because if it's like, well, I don't want to give him, you know, a 25% chance of getting the right answer, but then it's like, well, you're giving him an even bigger shot of getting 2 points from you. He's just lucky that
Andrew didn't capitalize on that.
Or he just kind of caught him in a blind spot.
Yeah.
And then Guy got Kurt Russell. Like, what? I think... I don't know if he did a respin, but yeah, he ended up with Kurt Russell. And shockingly, Burnett actually did steal 2 points from him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what question it was, but it ended up 12-10 in favor of Guy. Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Heading into round three, it was a little bit of a back and forth, because on the 2-pointer, Burnett got it, Guy missed. 3-pointer, Burnett missed, Guy got it.
Yeah.
But then the 5-pointer, Robert Meyer Burnett, he just
couldn't get it.
You know, couldn't pull it.
Yeah. So
15-12, Guy wins.
Yeah, it's a much closer match than everybody was expecting. Everybody was expecting Guy to TKO.
Yeah, wipe the floor with him.
Yeah, but I just think Guy was a little bit more emotional for this one. I think that might have gotten to him, because like because a lot of people were saying, like, you know, even though Burnett lost the match, he won the match. Because looking at this, because he's a manager, I think he had to just at least make it close. Because if he would have gotten knocked out, then that puts his competitors in like, oh man, why am I on this faction? This guy doesn't know how to play the game, right? So, but since he made it a close match, it's like, then now he has, because everybody's been talking so much shit about Robert Burnett doesn't know how to play the game. Robert Burnett has no idea what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he took a lot of risks in the draft, especially with his second round pick with James White,
who's no
matches to his name.
Yeah.
So if he would have gotten completely smoked in this match, then you look to that decision of getting a rookie competitor in your second round, like, all right, this guy clearly has no idea what he's doing. And he's just rolling the dice. Yeah.
Still on the fence about how much he knows.
Yeah, still on the fence. But now that he made it close, because everybody's expecting him to lose that game big, now he made it close, he made it to the third, your competitors are looking up to you now like, okay, he's a respectable showing. We didn't expect him to win, but at least he made it close. So now we have a little bit more faith in his decision making, a little more. Maybe he knows a little bit more about the game than people thought he did. So I think this it's just more of a moral victory in a defeat.
Yeah, and it is kind of fun to think about. Maybe it is a front. Maybe he's kind of
exactly.
just
yeah.
you know, putting up a smoke screen, if you will. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm just some dopey. I don't know. I just like to yell and I don't really know what I'm doing. But really, he does.
Yeah.
He, you know, that's fun to think about. I don't know that I think that's actually the case. You know, I mean, I'm sure he's a wonderful man.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I'm not sure how much of a grasp on this game that he has as compared to other managers. Time will tell.
Yeah. And we'll see. I mean, this is only the first two matches of the season.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that. And, you know, so far, it's the usual suspect get
no points, right?
Yeah. Usual Suspects gets
one
point.
Oh, I'm sorry. Andrew's on The Usual Suspects. Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, they get their point. Points? Point.
Point. I think it's a point for a win. Mm. For a singles one. Mm. I got to look this up. I got being being a competitor, I need to know how many, and especially since, you know, being points racking up and being a competitor, I need to know see where our faction is at compared to everybody else. So I really got to get that point spread in my head and seeing like, oh yeah, a knockout is worth this many points. Points lost for, even when you lose a title, you get a point. So it's just one of those things that we need to.
But there's no way to lose points that we know of.
That I know of, I don't think there's any way, unless Christian wants to make that punishment for some kind of really bad infraction.
Yeah. I don't even know what infraction that would be.
You tackle somebody through a table, or
for real, if you like for real tackle somebody through a table,
or like the situation with Makuga, the belt ass wiping with the belt and throwing it on the floor. Maybe that's something instead of this, you can either opt to get takeaway points or suspension. So we'll see what happens.
Yes.
But yeah, one thing that we mentioned at the top of the show that was that to note is Andrew Guy is no longer the dastardly one.
Yeah, that's right.
He's debonair Drew Guy.
Debonair Drew Guy. He kept on saying post match interview, he kept on talking about respecting the game.
Yes.
That was like his big thing. Mm-hmm. And now he's saying that, you know, he's kind of talking about how RMB is all about him and. Mm-hmm. Made Andrew's retirement all about him and this and that, and Guy was going on and on about, well, I did this for you guys, you know, the fans.
Yeah.
So quite obviously Andrew is setting himself up for
some sort of face turn.
Mm-hmm. I don't see him going full baby face. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, and I've been hearing, because I've always been saying like anti-face, but apparently the actual term is tweener. Which I like anti-face better. It's a little bit more like anti-hero type thing.
Tweener.
I'm going to keep using the word anti-face.
I'm never going to use the word
tweener. Tweener just sounds, because you apparently bounce back and forth between heel and face.
Ew.
I don't like that word, so I'm just going to go anti-face.
Yeah, tweener is
tweener like, sounds so, because babyface enough is some like, why babyface? Just
the, tweeners listen to like Taylor Swift and read Tiger Beat and stuff. That's just gross.
So I'm just going to use anti-face.
Yes.
So I think that's because he's having a sort of a face turn, but he's still talking so much shit in post and post-game interviews and pre-game interviews.
He's like a face, but with a huge edge on him.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it. Debonair. Yeah.
And looking at this story-wise and just looking behind the scenes type of stuff, it's like I'm wondering like, was his retirement totally his decision, or did Harloff kind of set this up for story?
I don't know. I thought that we had heard something about how Harloff didn't know. But then again,
you never know of Harloff.
You know, he's pulling the strings.
Yeah.
You never know when and where.
Being Big Papa Palpatine in the background, just
Big Daddy Harloff.
Yeah, Big Daddy Harloff.
Hey man, make everybody shit their pants and say that you're gonna retire.
Yeah, exactly. Because it made for a great storyline. I'm gonna come out of retirement and show you what's up.
Yeah.
So,
granted, the fact that he retired for about five minutes.
5 minutes.
The other thing that I like is that in his post-match interview, he kept calling Kalinowski Chance's teammate. I thought that was great.
Because don't they play Corruption next?
I don't know. But
I gotta look at the official schedule. Great.
They might, because I'm not sure why he would keep on talking about Corruption. Now I feel like
I think that they're because they lost the tournament and Corruption lost the belts, so it makes sense for the number one, basically the people that lost the number one contenders and the people that lost the belts to go up against each other.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see Guy and McQueenie go up against Chance and his teammate.
Yeah.
So moving on to the second match.
Oh, before we do that,
we
have to go back to our on-site correspondent, Squadron Officer Billy Belford.
Hey, Billy.
He called in after that, so let's see what he had to say.
So we had our first match of the night. It was Drew Guy versus Robert Meyer Burnett. And more of a closer match than a lot of people thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Drew Guy takes it. We'll get their reactions later. This is your on-site reporter, Billy Belford.
What a baller.
Baller Squadron Officer. Shout out to Billy, man. So, and spoiler alert, that's the only call-in we get after that.
Oh, no, really?
He doesn't call in anytime after that. I'm sure he's so, because like, again, a live event is so hectic and so, like, I imagine he just forgot in the moment. And No shade, Billy. I mean, we completely understand why you weren't able.
I would have forgotten too.
Yeah, because drinks are flowing. You're around great people. You're around in a great atmosphere. I would have forgotten too.
Yeah.
So I mean, and if anybody, any of our listeners want to do this, any of our members of the squad want to call in and say, hey, this is get reaction from either we would love reaction from fans too,
mm-hmm.
like fans of the show, fans of the Schmodown, and he tried to get. I imagine he tried to get. Competitor reactions just couldn't get around to it.
It's crazy.
So like if anybody wants to do that, any of the listeners, any of our squadron mates want to do that, that'd be awesome for live events. But after, so let's go ahead and get to the main event of the night, the triple threat match between
Bibiani,
Brendan Meyer
and Dan Merle,
faction mate of the Finnstock Exchange.
Oh yeah,
that'd be awesome.
So Koi did a promo, obviously,
yes,
for both of his boys.
Both at the same time. So
at the same time, and Dan, you know, didn't need to make a promo.
Dan doesn't need a promo.
Got nothing to say.
His game speaks for itself.
Yeah, he came out with Ben and BC, but no promo, and it's just like, you know,
you don't need it.
I'm just here to kick asses.
Yeah, and this, this was a great match.
It was.
This is such a good match.
It was, and it definitely showcased how the dynamic of this season is going to be different.
Yes.
Like, if we've never seen Brendan Meyer, he got face of the year, baby face of the year at the awards, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Every baby face award possible, he got it.
Yeah.
And even he was like, wait a fucking minute. Don't you challenge that. I got that.
And I said this to you off air that I think Brendan Meyer has like, the biggest like mean dog fit, like one of the
resting
best
resting bitch face. He has a resting. I got that too.
Yeah, you watch him on backstage, and he's just when he's sitting waiting his turn to speak, he has this ridiculous mean dog face. I'm like, wow. if you would like give him the right outfit, the right persona,
let him hang out with Kevin Smets a little bit.
Yeah,
and then he'll just he'd
be
like
really intimidating. I would say if you give him the opportunity to give a heel turn. Just visually, his face.
Hard to imagine because he's just so sweet.
Yeah, I know, but like I think he can pull it off really well.
He might,
especially being a professional actor.
It would be interesting to see, but yeah, it was pretty funny to see him even get
real heated. Yeah,
he got a little spicy in that match when Ben came on stage to challenge that one question.
And he's like, "Come
we'll
on,
get to that question.
Yeah, we'll get to that."
So round one. Bibiani got a perfect round. Only one. He got the perfect round and he got the bonus.
Yeah. And I think that's like, I can't remember how many times
he
did.
Yeah. Frankie did some sort of analysis of some sort. And
But like he's one of those rare competitors that has several perfect rounds. Like I think like up to upwards of like four.
Yeah.
Four or five.
Fantastic.
It's ridiculous.
He's amazing. So at the end of round one, Merle and Meyer, they both only miss one question. And if I'm not mistaken, it's the only question the two of them miss for the remainder of the match.
Yes. I think each competitor only missed one question. It's just a matter of where they missed it.
So yeah, Meyer and Merle both missed a question.
Mm-hmm.
So they finish at 7. Bibiani got the perfect round with the bonus question. So it was 9-7-7 in favor of Bibiani.
Yeah.
Going into round two, Bibiani defers to Dan defers to Brendan, and Brendan got horror.
Yeah, and this is where like usually I say like if you're in anything other than a head-to-head, go first because it's less opportunity for you to get a category. So like if I was in a triple threat or a fatal five-way, I want to go first because then it's more opportunity for me to get a category that I want.
Yeah,
in this case in the singles division and especially how broad the categories are, I say like that's a good idea because then it's more opportunity for the shit categories you don't want to get off the board. So I think that was smart of both Dan and Bibs to defer to Brendan.
Yeah. It's still scary to go first, though.
It is.
I feel like if I were ever to compete, I feel like I would always like
defer.
A guy said, like to play from behind. I feel like I would do that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I would kind of like to sit back and observe and see where I stand.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, you want to do your best regardless. It's not like, okay, well, I only need to get this many questions. I don't have to try as hard.
Yeah,
but it's kind of nice to see exactly what you need to do.
Mm-hmm,
but that might also still be kind of scary.
And that's why competitors always go second because, like, say, like, you go first and you're like, oh, I need to go. You have to go to multiple choice once or twice.
Mm.
And if you go second, then you see, like, all right, so I need to make this many points because they went multiple choice twice in that round. So if I go multiple choice here, it really doesn't hurt me.
Mm.
But say, like, the person before you goes perfect. Yeah. It's like, all right, so it's more pressure on me now to go perfect. So you know where you stand.
And it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're going to want to get as many points as you can regardless.
Yeah.
So Bibiani made an interesting play during Brennan's round with horror. So there was a question. I don't remember what movie it was, but
it was like
there was a question about a demon that possessed somebody.
Yeah.
And Brennan answered it one way. And Bibiani, and he
challenged.
Did he get it right? No, he got it wrong.
Meyer got it wrong.
He got it wrong. Bibiani, that's what it was. He got it wrong, but then Dan and Bibiani stole it.
Yeah.
But then Bibiani challenged it. He pulled a Manetti.
Manetti.
No, you know, no disrespect.
Sort of. And this is where it's weird because Bibiani and Meyer are on a team together. So is he doing this to help Meyer out? Because
To gang up on Dan. Assuming that's exactly what he was doing.
And we'll get to this later, but it ended up sort of biting him in the ass because...
A bit.
Because if he had not gotten these points, I think Meyer would have been eliminated first.
I didn't do the math.
Yeah, I didn't do the math, but like it ended up sort of biting him in the ass.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was an interesting play.
Yeah.
And I am fully assuming that he was... It was kind of like a solidarity thing.
It was helping his teammate out and more colluding with his teammate because... Meyer said this on backstage where they sort of took the because there's new they're calling it the Kalinowski rule where you can only put a category you want onto the wheel two times in a row. So say like I'm in inner geekdom, I want to put Star Wars on the board. I can only do that two times in a row and I have to wait another match to do that again. So what they did was Meyer took a strength of Bibbs and he put it on as one of his categories, and Bibbs took a category that Brendan was strong in and put it at his wheel
size. Fantastic strategy.
And the strategy. But that's the thing. It's like, are they allowed to do that?
I mean, what would prevent them from doing it?
And like, I think Dan, somebody said like, yeah, that's so much collusion going on. They shouldn't have been allowed to do that.
I mean, it is what it is.
There's no rule against it.
If you are, that was just luck of the, it was kind of like luck of the draw.
Yeah.
Because if you're on a team, but you're also an individual singles competitor too, and you happen to get into a three-way with your teammate,
why not?
You're going to use what you got.
There's no rule. And I think that was a brilliant move because then you bend the rules to your advantage, basically, so you don't waste a category you want.
Yeah, they didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
It was, you know, so I don't think it's a matter of, oh, should they? Yeah. That was collusion. Yeah. No.
So, like,
it was just luck.
People might have a problem with it, but like if there's no strict rule against it, you're not doing anything wrong. And another thing that I got upset about was the swearing rule. How Bibbs dropped the
said a no-no word.
He dropped an F-bomb.
Okay, yeah. So that did happen. He said the fuck word. Yeah. And then I remember I sent out a tweet, you know, and I was like, hey, he should lose a JTE because he said a no-no word.
Yeah.
And somebody responded to my tweet and they were like, LOL, they got rid of that rule. Yeah.
Where did they say this?
I don't know.
That's my problem with it. If you didn't make an official statement in either the Facebook group or on Twitter or like during a show or
SEN
something.
SEN or something or backstage.
See,
said something.
Yeah, I didn't hear any. I watched both of those shows on the regular. I might have missed it,
maybe.
But you need to make an official statement. And that was my problem with it. Because the way the season 7 is changing, it's the new era. This is a legit sport now with drafting players, adding points, and you're competing for something. So if we're going to treat this as an official sport, you need to make official statements.
I just wonder, assuming that it is not true that they threw that rule away, assuming that rule was in place, I wonder if everybody just forgot because it was so new. I was expecting Bateman to
challenge that.
To jump on that. You know.
I guess they might have made a statement backstage saying, hey, we're getting rule. But if that's the case, you need to let everybody know.
Fans, shocked that
competitors, managers.
Anything.
So I bet they made some kind of statement backstage like, hey, just be mindful of what you're saying. Mm-hmm. We're not going to penalize you anymore. We're taking that rule away. But to let everybody else know in the audience, just because if I was in the audience, I would have been like, certainly like, hey, because, you know, I'm faction mates with Dan and I want to like take any advantage possible. If I was in the audience, then I would be like, hey, he should lose a JTE.
Oh, yeah.
And if the audience doesn't know, then... You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, I thought that was an interesting
moment.
Interesting.
Had they made an official statement about it, I wouldn't have been as upset about it.
Unless we just missed it.
Yeah, unless we just missed it.
Which is also a possibility.
That was my little problem with it. So
yeah, not that it would have, you know, it wouldn't have changed the outcome of the game. Mm-hmm. But like you said, if we're going to treat this as a real sport, then we're going to have to uphold all the rules.
Yeah. Yeah, and
all the time.
And let us know if it's not a rule anymore.
Exactly. Because Harloff did call him out and be like, hey man, kids, yeah. I'm just shocked. Like I said, I'm just shocked that Ben didn't say something unless there was something that we missed.
Yeah, either we missed it on an SEN or backstage, or they made some kind of, they told everybody backstage.
Yeah, because that was my first thought when he said it. I was like, there goes the JTE, right?
That's an automatic JTE. So, I don't know. That was my only problem with it. I don't have, if they did do away with the rule, I don't have a problem with that. I just have a problem with them not officially stating it.
Yeah. Okay, so my question, because I don't actually remember, mm-hmm. when Bibiani challenged that question, Brendan went to multiple choice.
Yes.
Then Bibiani and Merle stole it. Mm-hmm. Bibiani challenged it. The challenge was upheld. And he got a new question.
They threw that question up because it was muddled.
So the new question he got, that was the other, like, you know, heated moment, mm-hmm. was that he was like, well, you know, I gotta be honest here, I already got this question. And that's when Ben just pounced on the stage and was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But then Brendan was like, hey, listen, Harloff said that we're recycling questions.
Yeah.
The thing that I just thought about that I didn't really think about at the time, mm-hmm. was, if you're going to throw out a question that he went to multiple choice on, should you only be eligible for your second question to be 1 point?
No. So here's the thing. So say he knew the answer to that.
That makes sense. What I just
said? So they threw the question completely out. The problem wasn't that he didn't know and went to multiple choice. The problem was the question was a bad question.
I guess.
So had he not been asked that question and asked a different question, he still would have had the opportunity to get 2 points instead of going to multiple choice. Does that make sense? So
I just feel, I don't know. I just thought it was.
So the problem with the challenge wasn't the fact that he went to multiple choice, anything dealing with that. The problem was the question itself.
Yeah. So but the fact of the matter is that he went to multiple choice. Mm-hmm. Had nobody said anything, mm-hmm. it would have been a 1 point question. So I just, you know.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But again, I think the problem wasn't any situation dealing with multiple choice.
Yeah,
the problem was the question itself. So it should have been asked in the first place.
Well, fine, I guess. So he got the new question.
Yeah, but yeah, that one moment where Meyer's getting heated about, and he kept saying something about
the inner geekdom category.
So if nobody knows about this, is the fact that Meyer got heated because he didn't know that you could put inner geekdom slices.
Now, where did you hear this? How do you know this?
This is in backstage.
Okay.
So backstage, he elaborated and, like, you know, you, as a competitor, you give your manager, say, hey, I want these two slices on the wheel, because you're allowed two slices that you're allowed to request. Mm-hmm. And Dan, going into inner geekdom, says, all right, he asks Harloff, is it okay if I put an inner geekdom slice on there? It's like, yeah, there's nothing against the rules about it.
A slice is a slice.
You can put an inner geekdom category on there. And Meyer said, like, wait a minute, I didn't know that you can do this, and because the official rule book hasn't been put out there anymore, so nobody knows all the rules just yet. So Meyer thought it wasn't right to put an inner geekdom slice on the wheel because it's not an inner geekdom match, when there's nothing against the rule saying, again, that there's nothing against putting inner geekdom slices on the wheel.
Well, I mean, to play, I don't know if this is devil's advocate, mm-hmm. but to argue against Brendan's point for mm-hmm. fun, I mean, it's still a movie category. Yeah. It's still in the world of movies.
Yeah, and I think the only problem Brendan had with it was that he didn't know that you can do that.
I wonder, which I understand.
Yeah.
And he has every right to feel that way. But I wonder if he would have done one too.
He said that there was a new category that he wanted to put on the wheel.
A new category or like an inner geekdom?
No, a new, like one of those new slices.
Oh, one of the new ones.
I can't remember why he said he didn't end up doing that. Mm. But yeah, that's why he got heated on. And that was a great strategy by Dan, because he wasn't expecting to go into singles this soon. Mm. He wanted to give it a time because he wanted to focus on inner geekdom. This allowed him to still focus on inner geekdom and get up on an edge in singles, because it's an inner geekdom slice. Because
he put middle earth.
In earth.
I've never seen Lord of the Rings.
It hurts me every single day.
I mean, they're like 5 hours long.
Four hours long each.
And I was exaggerating, and I wasn't that far off. Wow. And also,
the extended cuts, I should
big
say.
Gross spider. No thanks. I'm good.
Man, that's a whole sequence. I don't blame you.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck that. I'm not going to watch a movie with a gigantic spider and it being gross. I mean.
But yeah, that was a great move by Dan, I think. And that's why Meyer got upset. But
that was a great moment, because it was great to see the passion coming out of Meyer.
I said it on when I was on Chill Day Action this week, this past week.
A little plug right there.
Yeah. Well, thank you, thank you again for Chill Action for having me on the Action Army.
Yeah.
Yeah. Called Action. So I went on two of their shows. I went on Chill to Action and AAA. If anybody that has a podcast wants to have me on as a guest, I will fucking do it in a heartbeat because I have so much fun on those shows.
Yeah.
Just talking Schmodown, talking Star Wars. It's great. So, and they want you to be on too.
Yeah. When Andrew was on Chill to Action, the first one that he was on, it was at what time did you go on?
I went on at 9:15
Our time. And I was already like getting ready to go to sleep. I had work the next day. So I was definitely in bed.
For those who don't know, Nikki is the breadwinner of this family. or breadwinner?
Bread maker.
I don't know.
I bring home the bacon.
She brings home the bacon. She makes far more money than I do. I work from home and I raise our child. Not that I don't contribute to this family. Money wise, I do
He's
work
a stay
full-time.
At home daddy.
I stay home. I am a work from home dad.
Work
stay
from home dad. Daddy.
I still work, but she makes most of my stuff. She has to go to bed early and go to work.
Yeah, because I want to be sleepy at work.
So that's why she wasn't on.
So I was in bed. But when he was on AAA, what does that fucking say for?
Action Army Association. Asian.
What?
Because it's an Asian themed show.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's an all Asian show. That's why they had me.
Well, then that makes sense. Well, then I shouldn't have been on it. So.
No, but they want to have you on Chill and they want to have you on Ladies Night.
Because
they have like a semi, it's not a regular show, but it's like, I think it entails this. It's an all lady show where they talk about Schmodown, I guess. I don't know. I haven't watched.
I'm a lady and I watch Schmodown.
So yeah. So if the Action Army is listening, she's down.
Hell
she's
yeah.
She's
got to figure out schedule. Of course I'm down. I just can't be sleeping when you want to go live.
Yeah. But okay. So tangent. So really what I'm saying is that, players play differently now. You see that in Meyer and Bibbs getting heated in the matches because like they're not just playing for the love of the game anymore. They're not just playing for themselves. They actually have a faction that they have to play for. Now since there's going to be a reward at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So you could see that in Meyer getting so intense and obviously Bateman coming on stage really doesn't get to come on stage. So you see that shift now, and I think that's just really awesome now. But so we went on tangent. So
yeah.
Let's bring it back to the actual match.
So that wraps up Brendan's second round. Mm-hmm. Then we go on to Dan, who spins Natalie Portman, decides to stay with it.
Yeah.
And he fucking crushed it. He got a perfect second round, didn't he? He didn't even go to multiple choice, if I'm not mistaken.
No. He went perfect in the second round.
He just crushed it. Mm-hmm. So not much to say about that, other than he Dan Merle'd his second round.
Yeah.
So then Bibiani spins and he gets Oscar movies, a strength of his.
Yeah.
And shockingly, Dan and Brendan both got a 2-point steal from him.
Yeah. And if Bibbs didn't challenge that one question with Meyer would have missed one. So he would have missed two overall in the match. But that challenge.
Yeah, it kind of erased.
Kind of erased that miss.
And so with that miss with Bibiani, that means that all three of them missed one question and. Yeah. I believe that's it.
That's it, yeah. Because then we get to the third round.
Yeah.
And everybody hits their 2, 3, and 5.
Yeah. So. Wow, spoilers. So round three, another dramatic challenge. This one I think is probably the one that made me go, okay. It was Dan's 2-point question.
Yeah.
It was a Jurassic Park question about...
Richard Attenborough.
Dino DNA guy, right? So, yeah, Richard Attenborough, Dan answered sir, and Bibiani challenged that it should be Lord.
Yeah. And that's
semantics.
Semantics.
I mean, he got the first and last name.
Yeah, I think that's just Bibiani either trying to get under Dan's skin, which it did.
It did.
Or just grasping at straws. Because that's the kind of things that when you get to these tight matches where you have to, like, at any point.
You got
to like,
take whatever chance you can get.
Just challenge just for the hell of challenging it. Maybe it'll go in your favor.
He probably thought he saw an opportunity and said, hey, I at least better just throw my hat in the ring.
And it did. That ended up getting under Dan's skin, but in the complete wrong way, I think.
Yeah.
Because you heard how like, angry Dan was at that challenge. He's like, come on. Oh, really?
You could see it. He was pissed.
He was very pissed. And I think that was the wrong move on Bibbs' part because Dan was angry at that point.
Yeah. And angry Dan.
Angry Dan is a dangerous
scary
Dan.
Dan.
Yeah. So
Dangerous Dan Morrow.
Yeah, exactly. So like, I think it ended up backfiring. Not that it really wouldn't have made a difference at this point, yeah. Because you know he knew always knew his answer. But now it's at the, now it's just like, all right, you just pissed off the goat. Yeah,
but you can't knock him for trying.
Yeah.
Because you know he's trying to win by whatever means possible, and mm-hmm. he wasn't doing anything dirty. He was just,
yeah, it was just yeah.
thought he saw an opening and tried to step in.
And that's
it.
Just the question is like how. With like names like this, like we've seen it coming up in the past with like movie titles with like The Thing and Thing, and it's like we're like, and you those you can argue it's like, yeah, because there's several movies like Thing and The Thing and things like that. When you get to the point of like, say, like an actor is actual doctor with like
Ken Jeong,
like, are you gonna knock the guy a point for not saying doctor? Whatever his name is,
Ken Jeong.
Yeah, sorry. so it's like, oh, so if you go by that point, and somebody goes, oh, it's Ken Jeong, and then somebody's like, oh no, he's actually a doctor. It's like, who gives a fuck, really?
Yeah,
it's like,
I wonder what would have happened if Dan had just said Richard Attenborough. Yeah. I wonder if Viviani would still have challenged that. Hey, you didn't put a title in there.
And he still would have gotten it right because it doesn't matter because it's just the sir is just the title.
Yeah,
it's like.
But I mean, I'm not knocking him because was trying to do what he had to do.
It's just one of those things where people are arguing in Bibbs's favor. It's like, oh, he's right. He should have gotten.
Didn't they do the research? And at the time,
yeah.
he was.
And
a
that's
sir.
Also semantics. It shouldn't matter if it's Sir, Lord, or just his name.
Yeah.
So, I just think that it's almost a petty challenge. And again, I don't knock him for doing it.
Yeah.
Because like again, you got to try to get any, especially when you go against somebody like Dan. Mm-hmm. And now how well Brendan is doing, you got to watch out for him as well. So you got to get points wherever you can get them, and get points taken away wherever you can get them.
Exactly. The thing that makes me upset is all the. I feel like Bibbiani's taken a lot of heat.
Yeah.
For this, which I don't know. I feel like it's a little unjustified. Everybody's mm-hmm. like, whoa, that's a heel move. What are you trying to be a heel?
I don't think it's a heel move.
It's not a heel move. It's just I'm trying to win the fucking game move.
Yeah.
Like, Bibbiani, I mean, even if he wants to be a heel, it doesn't matter. Challenging a question doesn't make you a heel.
And he also got shit for after what was it, his first round? He gets out and he walks out in front of the tables and he's like, and he starts like cheer me on. That's not a heel move. He got shit for that. It's like, why are you giving a player shit for, like, you know, he got another perfect round. He should be doing shit like that.
I mean, I'd be all over the stage too if I got a perfect round.
Exactly.
I mean,
so it's like, why are you giving, and I don't get all this heat towards Bibbs.
I don't know.
For shit like that. And it's like, no, it's just, you know.
Maybe it's because he dances the line between face and heel.
I don't think he does. I just think it's just passionate, being a passionate player.
And sometimes his humor is kind of dry.
Yeah.
So maybe it kind of comes off as him trying to be
I don't
heel.
Get it.
I don't know. But I feel like it could be, people could see him as tiptoeing the line between one and the other, and maybe they're just like, make a decision.
And bringing up that stupid tweener word again. I don't see him as that. I don't see him as an anti-face either. I see him as a pure face. And Roko's one of those two where like he has those like heel tendencies, but like, you know, he can be an anti-face or a face, but it's just when he goes full Roko, he does have those kind of heel tendencies,
yeah,
right. But and I don't see that with Bibbs at all.
No, I don't either.
And you know, and I think people like look at this match and it's the first time they're actually getting really passionate again, because again they're playing for their team.
Yeah,
and people might see that as like, oh, they have these heel tendencies. Don't be heel. It's like, no, it's just they're being passionate.
Yeah, and it kind of makes me sad because I read it as passion, like you said.
Yeah,
and it's kind of like, hey, listen, fan base. Why are you shitting on somebody for being so into this? Isn't that not why we love this game? Is because people are so into it and the love of the game. Like, let's not punish somebody for being into it. If Bibbiani, if that's how he gets it, that's how he's passionate and that's how he's expressing it, enjoy the show. Just sit back and enjoy the fucking show.
And this is something that Christian's brought up too, that like, and to flip it on, like, not, it's not always the fans' problems. It's also competitors take it so personally sometimes, because Christian said that he wants competitors to stay out of the...
Strongly suggest
that competitors stay out of the Facebook group.
Yeah.
And it's hard for us as well, because we were fans first. Mm-hmm. A lot of these people that are in it right now, like the Rokas, the Bibbianis, and the Merles, they've been in it since the beginning, so they've never really experienced this thing.
From the fan side, almost.
Like, we're different because we started out as fans, and we just happened to be lucky enough to be... become part of it as competitor, as you know, as a competitor and somebody that sees a competitor, and we get that other side of it now. So I think what the competitors have to be mindful of is, like, people can oppress the like say their opinions on the Facebook group, and this just don't take it personally, because I think Harlow put it really well that if we're going to treat this as a sport, like mm-hmm. true sports, and I can see this season is that one turn that Harlow always wanted to being a complete sport, and especially now that everybody's competing for something down the line, is that this is what happens in sports. Tom Brady, arguably the greatest quarterback to ever live. I still fucking hate him. But I still acknowledge that he is the greatest quarterback to ever play the game.
I really heard him to say it.
Yes, and that helps. Yeah, I hate that. He's probably a really cool guy. He's really, really good guy. He's
probably a really nice guy.
I just hate him because he wins so fucking much. and people and fans in this movie Church Went On should be able to say shit like that.
Yeah.
They should.
Part of the fun of the sport.
That's part of the sport now.
As long as you don't cross the line.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I feel like a lot of people are like, yeah, man, fuck Tom Brady. And that's funny and all to say.
Yeah.
But you should not be in the Facebook group like, man, fuck Dan Merle. They hand him all of his matches.
Yeah.
Like, you don't do that. Yeah, you just don't do that.
So
keep that kind of shit inside your brain. Yeah. And if you really do think that he's being handed matches, maybe just think of a different way to say it.
Yeah.
Be more respectful about it. Don't just be in the Facebook group trashing people.
Yeah, because the one unique thing about the movie Trivia Shmoedown, you have a direct line to competitors. And I think that's so awesome. Coming from a fan perspective, if I could say something about Rachel Cushing, like, hey, I think Rachel's the best of all time. Mm-hmm. I love Rachel Cushing. And to have Rachel come back and comment on it, like, oh, thank you very much. I work very hard. That's huge for a fan. That's like, oh, my God, Rachel reads my comments.
Yeah.
But on the same side of that, if I come in there and say, hey, fuck Mike Kalinowski, I fucking hate his guts.
Yeah.
He can see that and he can reply to me. And so you just got to be mindful of these things, I think.
And mindful of the fact that at the end of the day,
it's people.
This is people with feelings.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you don't like Mike Kalinowski or whoever, just be respectful about it. Just be like, hey, man, I don't really know what you would say.
Just keep it to yourself. I mean, if you're going to comment in the Facebook group, keep it to like gameplay, like try to keep it to gameplay. I don't think this person as good as everybody says it is because this and this. Yeah. It's like their record doesn't reflect it. I think they don't perform under high pressure. Just keep it to gameplay. Don't make it like personal.
It's gonna get that way though.
It will.
Because with all these big personalities coming in, people will talk about personalities.
Yeah. And I think you just have to realize that again, if you don't like the person because of like their shit talk, or like Andrew Guy would be a perfect example. This went in the heel Andrew Guy. It's like, hey man, fuck that guy. He says so much shit. Recognize that again, it's theatrics mixed with sports.
Yeah.
So recognize that it's a
character. The line gets blurred.
The line gets blurred. And if you can't see that, then like maybe you really shouldn't be watching this and just stick to criticizing the trivia and not so much the story aspect, because everybody loves the Schmodown for different reasons. I love it all. I love everything about it. But some people just like the trivia, and they're not so much into the cutscenes and the characters.
There are people like that.
And there's people on the complete opposite side don't give a shit about the trivia. Mm. They love the stories and the characters. So it's like, I don't know.
Or just, you know, maybe think about what you
think about what you
type in before you click send.
Because I do agree with Christian that competitors shouldn't take things so personally. But also, I don't want to see competitors not interact with the fans, because that's a unique thing that the Schmodown has.
And it's also like I kind of referenced it before. Mm-hmm. There was a post. I don't remember the guy's name, nor would I even say it if I did remember it. But there was a post from a guy who did say, he didn't say fuck Dan Merle, but he was like, man, they just hand Dan Merle matches.
Yeah.
And he kind of went off
on a rant.
A little bit of a rant, and it was kind of ignorant, and Dan Merle steps in and he's like, oh, they handed me my free for all win. They handed me my number one contender. They handed me my belt. Like, and he put him in his place.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're going to come out, you know, talking big boy shit,
make sure you know what you're talking about.
You know, someone's going to come check you, whether it's another competitor or the competitor themselves. I mean, you're welcome to say your piece. You might get called out for it.
Yeah, just be mindful of who you're talking about and how you're saying it.
Just write it with the thought of, hey, do I think I would say this to their face?
Yeah.
If I wouldn't say this to their face, maybe I shouldn't post it online, because there is the very big possibility that they are going to see it. So you might as well be saying it to their face.
Yeah.
So if I wouldn't walk up to Mike Kalinowski and say, man, I fucking hated that promo you cut before that match. If I wasn't going to say that to his face, maybe I shouldn't put in the Facebook group, because he's probably going to see it.
I mean, maybe you could say that, but in a loving way, it's like, man,
he
Yeah, that's you know different what I mean? Too.
Yeah, so like
because
just be mindful
people bust balls in yeah. this bust in this balls? Fandom all the time.
Yeah,
and it's everybody
just,
bust yeah, balls.
Just realize, like, remember, like, how you say it and who you're saying it to. Just remember that there's people behind these personas.
Yeah,
and you know, if you don't want if you don't want that being said about you, just think about it that way.
Treat people how you want.
Exactly. I mean, it sounds cliche and like you know, whatever, but like. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've experienced that already with people saying certain things about me. And I'm like, God, I really don't agree with that. But, like, maybe that's the way they people see my gameplay. So, yeah. it's just, it happens on both sides. Maybe I shouldn't take things so personally and, you know, get thicker skins. Because that's going to have to end up happening down the line anyways. So.
Well, anyway.
So back to the match.
So, Sir Lord Richard Attenborough. So then Dan, you know, he gets his two. Nobody misses anything in the third round. So Dan gets his two-pointer.
Mm-hmm.
Bibbs challenges it, gets overruled.
Yeah.
We right continue. So. Bibbs' three-point question. I wrote something here. Oh, okay. So his three-point question was some kind of question about, like, an actor who is rumored to play a role.
Yes, that's another
and
thing.
And Ben challenged it, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, because he said it's more rumors and it has really nothing to fully do with
the movie
itself.
Which, and I kind of
agree with that. And I think Christian agreed with it too, that he's trying to not have these questions come up anymore.
Yeah.
It's just that it's hard to keep track of them because there's so many fucking questions.
But it did get overruled.
It did get overruled because it led back to the movie.
Yeah.
And I think it was well known enough that, you know, if you go deeper into the movie itself, you're like, it's a piece of trivia that has happened with the movie. But in the context of how the questions that have already been asked in the movie Trevor Showdown, it doesn't really fit. You know what I mean? Because it's not an actual fact about the movie. And they argued that, a question like this that I think could be accepted is Back to the Future. Michael J. Fox wasn't the original person cast as Marty McFly. Mm. It was, I can't, and I know this is why I can't compete in singles version. And this would be embarrassing because this is actually an IG question. I can't remember the guy's name, but this guy was cast and they shot scenes with him with this person. So that's a piece of trivia that I think could come up and that would be valid. But things like this where it's an actual fact about the movie, it's more rumor. I think all those questions should be like cast aside because like it's just like, oh yeah, this person, you can make up shit. It's like, hey, I was rumored to play fucking the Bruce Lee in this one documentary film. It's not true. I can make it a rumor though.
I've started the rumor, so it was a rumor.
Yeah, I started the rumor, so that's correct. I was rumored to play this person in this movie. So it's like, it's one of those where do you draw the line type of things.
It's kind of a shaky question.
So I do agree with like questions like that should be not even asked because it's not a factual thing about the movie.
And I wonder if they overruled it because they were like, oh my God, let's just fucking get through this match.
Yeah, because, well, I think they overruled it because Bibbs got it right. If you would have gotten it wrong and Bibbs would have challenged, like, hey, that's not really a factual question, they would have thrown that question out and asked him a different one. Yeah. But the fact that he got it right, and he got it right really freaking fucking quickly.
Yeah.
So I think that's why, and I think they're just tired because that's like the third challenge of the match. They're like, God fucking, just already. All right,
let's just fucking get this show on the road. We're almost there, home stretch. Yeah. So everybody got their questions. Dan got his two, Bibbs got his three. Everybody got the chance to get through their 2, 3, and 5.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Dan just, well, he got a thing about a movie quote and it was, say anything or something like that.
So, yeah. So, that's a tough category in any division.
Yeah.
Quotes are like just so hard to get, especially in the singles division.
Because there's only about 8 bajillion thousand Inner Geekdom, movies.
It's a little easier. And then you can argue in Star Wars division, it's probably the easiest to get them because you only have a certain number of movies you have to watch. But like in singles, how do you?
I
cannot wrap my head around movie quotes in the singles division.
Yeah,
it's so hard. But I think the caveat to that is like they're famous quotes. Like you can see like famous movie quotes like round up the usual suspects or you know things like that.
Yeah.
That come up. You don't get like these off the ball, like deep cut quotes very rarely.
Yeah.
So
I just don't understand how they.
Yeah, I don't either.
I wonder how many like Schmodown competitors in relationships have ever had like an argument with their significant other
And they're like, motherfucker, I asked you to take the garbage out and you can't remember to do that, but you remember what fucking year Richard Attenborough was a lord and a sir. Like, I wonder how many people have had that, that moment.
That's a good point. Let's ask people like...
let's ask Shannon and Mike.
Shannon and Mike. Let's ask Mara and Merle.
Yeah.
Who else? There's
how
another,
do you know that?
There's stuff? Another couple, but I don't think they like putting it out there. You know what I'm talking about? So
awkward.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's move on. So, yeah. It ended up being 27 Dan, 26 Brendan, 25 Bibbs.
Yeah.
So Dan took it. And also one of our favorite parts of this match was the post-interview when Kate was talking to Dan. And she was like trying to compare him to, you know, great people in history. And she's like, Michael Jordan, Abraham Lincoln, Dan Merle.
I get Michael Jordan, but
Abraham Lincoln.
I mean, is she saying that he's the best president of all time?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, I'm not a history buff, so
it was just
yeah.
So random.
So, but Kate's hilarious.
God, she is. But it was a great match.
It was
very
such
tight.
A good match. Yeah.
And obviously, we're happy about it because, you know, faction.
Faction, yeah. Finn Stock Exchange, Dan Merle. This is the, like, if we weren't in this post-draft era, if I wasn't on this faction, I would be like, oh, cool. I'm rooting for everybody because Bibbs deserves another shot at the title.
We're just rooting for a good match.
Yeah, it's rooting for a really good match. But since Merle is in the Finstock Exchange, we were so excited when he won.
Oh, yeah. It felt different.
It felt different.
Rooting for him.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, this is going to be such a different year because it's not only a thing for the competitors competing in the match, but it's other competitors that are in the same faction. It's for fans that love different factions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gonna be such a pure sport now.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
It's going to be great.
So good. And let's just like coming in February, Dan versus Bateman is going to be awesome.
And
the belt stays in the faction.
Either way, it's great because Ben wins it.
Mm-hmm.
He gets the defend and he gets whatever points are associated with that.
Mm-hmm.
If Dan wins it and takes the belt, you get the points for
a win.
You know, win and acquiring the belt.
Yeah. And the points for losing the belt with Ben.
What?
I think you get a point for losing a title because you competed in a title match, apparently. I don't know.
Oh,
I could be wrong.
Maybe.
I got to go into
being in a title match.
Yeah, just being in a title match. So I think I need to go onto the website and get that point spread in my head just so I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Obviously, I wish both of them could win it somehow, but...
Yeah. And we say, like, the Finstock Exchange is, like, you know, three-fourths of...
The
Atlanta event.
Because
we have Emily Rose Jacobson going up against
Alex Damon
making his Inner Geekdom debut.
And then you got an all-Finstock championship match, baby.
Hell yeah.
It's going to stay with us no matter what.
Stays with the faction no matter what. I'm so excited about that.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't, you can't be like, oh man, I'm rooting for this one over this one. I'm just rooting for the Finstock Exchange. And I'm going to win either way.
We're going to win either way. And so let's talk a little bit about that match coming up. We got a little bit. We have a whole month until that shows up.
Yeah.
Who do you see winning the undercard?
Emily versus Alex. That's a really hard question to answer because it's been a long time since Emily's competed.
Mm-hmm. That could be to her benefit, though.
It could be to her benefit. It could be to her detriment because there's ring rust.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, you made a point earlier somewhere that, you know, she's had all this time to prepare.
And like the difference between her first and second match is like, wow, she's putting in the work. And that's what I'm saying, that gap between her last match and this one, she has all this time to study, all this time to prepare. And she has this amazing faction behind her.
Yeah.
So
I'd like to go back and watch her last match just to remind myself because I feel like it's been a really long time.
So, and we don't know how Alex is going to perform.
We don't. He's a total unknown in IG.
And I don't know, like, what his knowledge base is. I know, again, I in the last episode, I told, like, this is what I think his strengths are.
But we don't know.
Like, I've never really heard him talk anything about anything but either Star Wars or Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
That's really it. I mean, we've talked about Lord of the Rings in passing, like, for a brief minute. And that was just like, oh man, the books are fucking long and I love this fucking movie. And that's all we said. So it's really, I think it really comes down to how Alex is going to perform and if he spins Star Wars or not.
Yes.
If he spins Star Wars and gets Star Wars in the third round,
it's going to be a big old uh-oh.
It's pretty much going to be like, oh shit.
Yeah. But it would only be a a small number of questions. So yeah. It's not like,
it's not gonna
game
like,
over right yeah. there, but it would definitely be, oh shit.
it's just a less possibility for Emily to steal any points in the second round.
What is Shakira doing back here? We got the Super Bowl on in the background. Shakira's got like rope around her wrist. What the fuck is happening?
What are you doing?
She is a queen. So yeah, I don't know because... I mean, look at her.
My back's to the TV. I'm actually focusing on this. So
I mean, how can I not look at that? She's twirling a rope above her head. It's crazy. But yeah, I don't know. I'd like to go back and rewatch Emily's match. But even then, I don't know how Alex is going to do in IG. Everyone kind of just assumes
that he'll do well.
That he's going to dominate because of how dominant he is in Star Wars. And that's like, he could bomb.
That's one category in a slew of, like, it's like, I think it's 20 categories, I think.
He could come in there and he could dominate, or he could go in there and he could get, demolished. Torn apart.
Yeah.
That's the thing about it. I mean, he's not a rookie. That's the thing about somebody who's new to a division is that you have no idea.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, just for loyalty's sake, I'm going to pick Emily.
Yeah.
And
then we have to go talk about
the best.
And then the main event with Merle against Bateman.
Yeah.
That's an interesting fucking match.
It's going to be.
Because Dan has a chance to go.
It's going
to
be a big one.
Four-time singles champion.
Yeah.
And the fourth person to be double belted in the history of the showdown. Because first was Levine, next was Rachel, then Kalinowski, and now Dan Merle.
Yeah.
So he has an opportunity to be the fourth person to be double belted.
And then try to get that third one.
And then try to go for the third in IG.
Yeah.
That's insane. And another thing to think about is that Dan has never lost in a live event, including the free-for-all.
True.
In every live event that he's competed in, he's always won.
True.
So that's very interesting. I think going into that, and just seeing like how much of a win. Granted, this win streak is going to be have a little bit of asterisk because of the time between Bateman's last match. I actually do, in the very slightest, think Bateman can pull this out. I really do.
Absolutely.
Because like it is hard to go against Dan with everything that he has behind him.
Mm-hmm.
But
Bateman, but it would be a crime to underestimate Bateman.
Yeah, Bateman has what it takes to take Dan on and take him out.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it's at this point, it's all about legacy for him now, because.
And the other thing that I find interesting that I'd love to ask players about who are part of, like, I mean, I know that Ben and Dan have never been part of a team.
Yeah.
But they've obviously been working closely enough.
Yeah.
That Ben could be comfortable managing him in Dagnino's absence.
Yeah.
So that's something that I find interesting is when people who know each other very well go against each other.
Yeah.
Like, are you going to use that knowledge as leverage against them?
You have to.
You got to do what you got to do to win. So I don't know. It's just interesting to add that element to it, because if Ben knows Dan well enough to say, oh yeah, you should stay with Natalie Portman, or no, you should spin again, that kind of thing.
He'll know his weaknesses.
Yeah. So it's an interesting element to add to the match.
That is.
It was a totally other element for Shazam to both be against Dan, because it's almost like they could have teamed up. But here, you got two people going one-on-one, and I want to win, he wants to win, So, I don't know. It's just an interesting element.
It is. And it's almost like a toss-up. Like, it could be decided by one point.
It could absolutely go either way.
It can go to, like, sudden death. It could be one of those matches.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're in the Atlanta area, and you have the means,
go
to SchmoDownLive.com. Get those tickets.
It's going to be a banger.
It's going to be a banger. It's going to be awesome. So I think that's going to do it. Oh, wait. No, actually, we have one more call-in, actually. So before we head out, I would like to play this one call-in from a very special somebody. Let's go ahead and play it.
Hey, Nikki and Andrew. This is John Mariano.
Hey,
I am outside of the Gram. This is the after party for the New York show. We just watched an incredible match. And I can't give you many spoilers, because I don't know if you guys are doing spoilers or not. But let's just say, Fitzhugh Exchange!
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
So, how you guys doing?
Good.
I'm not really sure what to ask you, because I don't know if we're talking spoilers or not.
We are talking spoilers, John.
But if you guys want to talk spoilers, I know a guy. Give me a call. We'll talk. Miss you guys. Star Wars rocks. I need another X-Wing flight entrance, or maybe a Millennium Falcon.
Ooh, we'll see.
Does anybody else here want to say hi to Nikki and Andrew?
Hey guys, this is Eddie Haskell 420.
Oh, Haskell.
What's going on?
All right, that was Eddie. Okay, we're running out of time. We'll talk to you later. Thanks. Christy, say hi.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh my God, I love Mariano.
He's such a cool guy.
And like he DM'd me after he posted, like, I was drunk, so I was hoping that would get you guys to laugh. I was like, anytime you, Mariano, you want to call into the show, go ahead and do it because you fucking rock.
Yeah, man.
Love the support. Can I just say, like, this is such a great community.
Oh my God.
Every minute that we're about part of this community, it just gets so much better.
Yeah.
It's so cool. So, yeah, if anybody wants to call in, say something stupid on Anchor, just, you know, send us a message on Anchor. It'd be awesome.
And I'm shocked because I would not have guessed that he was drunk. He sounds very good drunk. So kudos to you, Jen.
So I think we're just going to wrap it up now here. Nikki DiMonte, where can they find you online?
I say things on the internet on Twitter at Dimmy, DimmyY.
For me, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Drew DiMalanta, DimAlanta. You can find us on YouTube. Find this podcast on YouTube at videosbyandrew.com. If you are listening to this on YouTube, give us a like, subscribe to the channel. There's going to be a new segment for Star Wars coming up in the next couple of weeks. Not going to reveal what that is, but if you love Star Wars.
It's going to be me talking about Star Wars, drunk as hell.
That could be coming on down the line too. But if you do love Star Wars, you love to hear me talk about Star Wars, I can talk about Star Wars for hours. Hopefully this will get more content on the channel Star Wars-wise. So go ahead and check that out. Again, videosbyandrew.com. And also check out our Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/AndrewAndNikki, N-I-C-K-I. We have some exclusive content going to that, so please become a member of the squadron and donate to the Patreon.
Yeah.
So, as we close it out, thank you so much for joining us on this latest episode of Beyond the Schmodown, and we'll see you guys next time.